KVI.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the real deal. Ari and Big Mike give you their take on the latest movies. Ready? Lights, camera, action on the Ari Hoffman Show.
It's not often I get directions from the studio on how to actually say the name of a movie, but I just want to make sure I get it correct this time. This is a gentle reminder that when mentioning the film, it must be F1 trademark the movie, or F1 trademark the movie inclusive of the registered trademark symbol. So that means it's F1 the movie. Just making sure we got that out of the way right up front. Making sure we got that, which I find kind of entertaining because I really enjoyed the movie.
Well, Mike. And this has been my favorite segment of the show, title legislation.
Yes, exactly.
You know, if I had two nickels for every time the rep from the studio counseled us on what the proper title of the movie is, I would only have 10 cents, but that means that it's happened twice. The last time I got a correspondence like this was when Godzilla X Kong came out last year. And that's, you would think that movie would be Godzilla X Kong or Cross Kong or Times Kong. No, it's just called Godzilla Kong : The New Empire. And this has been title legislation with Big Mike. Please, let's talk about a car movie.
We didn't even have this much title legislation over Mission Impossible : Dead Reckoning Part 1. We did that ourselves.
Yes, or Thunderbolts *Asterisk*.
That's another one. Yep. Exactly. But anyway, the movie itself, regardless of the title legislation.
What's the name of the movie again?
It's F1 Copyright the Movie, or F1 Copyright the Movie, or F1 the Movie. Either way.
Close enough. There's one bit in the email that I swear we'll talk about the movie at some point, maybe. But there's another point of emphasis in that email from the studio rep that, Zach, you had pointed out when we got this email, because there are two different ways to refer to it. It says like F1 registered trademark : the movie, but then there's an all caps version as well.
Yes.
So does that mean the name of the movie is
F1 : registered trademark the movie?
The movie.
The movie. Thank you.
Okay. F1 Thank the movie. You.
This has go. Been title legislation with Mike and Zach. Anyway, F1 the movie was excellent. I thought it was great. I enjoyed it very, very much. I thought Brad Pitt was great in it. I love all the driving sequences. I think that for somebody who doesn't understand F1 racing, like myself, who just thinks it's cars on a track and doesn't know all the nuances, it was a nice, easy on-ramp. Were there some things I didn't understand?
I see what you did there.
On-ramp. Yeah, you got it.
Sort of a pit lane, if you will.
There you go. There were some things I didn't understand, but became clearer through the movie. And I will say, it's much more you have to think about the racing stuff than like a Days of Thunder, let's say, where it's they
well,
go
yeah,
in a circle.
Well, yeah, because these ones turn left and right.
Exactly. So there's that. I enjoyed it. I thought the action was good. I thought the plot was a little thin, but I didn't mind because I enjoyed the racing stuff so much. And I really enjoyed that it was an IMAX. It felt like you're really sitting in the seat, so much so that at some points it's a little much watching all that on IMAX, but I really, really liked it. Mike, what'd you think?
I liked it quite a lot. It is the most immersive racing movie I have ever seen. The director, Joseph Kaczynski, Kaczynski or something. Not to be confused with the Unabomber. I think we made that joke before. But no, he basically took the camera techniques that they learned on Top Gun Maverick, putting cameras on fighter jets. What if we put those on race cars? And the results you get is this type of racing photography that, Zach, you being a actual F1 racing enthusiast, one of the things that you said to me later when we were talking about it is hopefully some of this photography that was developed for this movie actually makes it back into the sport.
Yeah, I thought it was so immersive. I mean, I've watched just about every videotaped F1 thing you can, TV shows that drive, you know, got hooked on it like everyone else did with the Drive to Survive Netflix series, which is really, really well done. It's Netflix dumping a whole bunch of money into, you know, all the film of that, and they outfitted the cars with special equipment just to start doing this Netflix TV show. And so, you know, it's not like it's not Days of Thunder days where the onboard cameras were pretty rough and then you go to a movie. This is kind of, the waters we're already dipping our toe in Formula One. So to see everything looks so good. I'm hoping, yeah, that technology can maybe, because I think I've seen some pictures of the rigs they had to outfit these cars with to get these shots, and it's pretty cumbersome. Mm-hmm. But I hope they can shrink this down and just apply that to races every Sunday.
So we were, when you first brought this up, Mike, yeah, we had discussed how when The Matrix came out, they took that technology and adapted it to the NFL. So this is something that you can see that. Now, Zach, I got a question for you. You're the racing enthusiast, but also you drive race cars. So looking at this kind of stuff, what did you think of the movie? Because for somebody like me who didn't get all the inside jokes or the cameos or any of that kind of stuff, you said it might be a little distracting. What'd you
think?
Well,
yeah, the one thing to remember about this movie is that they filmed it during, I think, an F1 season about 2 years ago. It might have spanned a little bit of time, but they were, you know, if you watched an F1 race, you could see all the pits lined up, you know, McLaren and Ferrari and Aston Martin like normal, but then there would be this fake F1 pit that looked like a real one, but it was a fake team with Brad Pitt and everything set up, and the cars would go out together, and they would film some stuff with the other car. So when you see a Ferrari on the track, that's probably actually Charles Leclerc in a Ferrari driving that car. And so there's so many cameos to the point that they almost become characters. We might all know the name Lewis Hamilton, the Tom Brady of motorsport, if you will, has won, I think, 7 world championship titles. And he becomes kind of a character in this film. And it gets a little distracting because we're talking about stuff that happened 2 years ago. You couldn't do a football movie and release it today and look at players. You know, where's Russell Wilson playing 2 years ago? That's kind of what this is like. And so at first it's cool to see, oh, that's really that person. And then as it goes on, but they're not racing for them anymore. And he's not the coach or team principal for that team anymore. And it gets a little distracting how much they kind of blur reality and you know, the setting of the movie, which is fictional.
Do you think it's the kind of thing, I remember in Days of Thunder, you know the other drivers are there, you see their cars, you recognize the cars, but the only time they reference the other drivers is really this one montage when they're talking about Tom Cruise being dangerous.
Right.
That's
right.
It. The rest of the time, you don't know who these guys are, and the people they're racing against are fictitious characters. Do you think that would have done better for the movie?
Absolutely, and it would have been very easy. I think there are times, you know, in the radio, they're telling the guy, hey, for example, Lewis Hamilton's just up ahead, 2 seconds ahead of you or whatever. They could have just said, hey, the Mercedes is ahead of you. Yeah. They could have kind of removed some of that stuff that's a little more time sensitive. But all in all, the movie's fantastic. And I think afterwards I equated it to the first Avatar, where it doesn't matter that the plot is thin because the cinematography's so good. That's what you're there for. It's such a spectacle. It doesn't really matter what the story is.
Yeah, I think it actually benefits from a thinner plot because it's streamlined and easy to follow. This is a sports movie through and through, in my opinion. And the best sports movies make even the most complicated, cumbersome sports approachable. And I think this movie does it very well. The next bit of legislation I'd like to get into, if we can, is like, who is this movie for? So, for example, one of my delights in being in the advanced screening with Zach is watching him hop up and down with all the cameos. It's like, that's a guy. That's a real F1 journalist. That's the McLaren plant. That's the actual place. And Zach, like you had already said, that kind of tapers off as it becomes
distracting. Diminishing returns on that.
Yeah, exactly. But like, is this a movie for F1 enthusiasts? Is this a movie for moviegoers? Like, for me, this is a sports movie, and it's a Brad Pitt movie. Like, one of the things that we talked about in pre-show a little bit is we get to see, like, the giant promo title card up on the big IMAX screen, and it's a enormous Brad
Pitt. It's
really
Brad Pitt, tiny letters, F1 registered trademark, in the movie.
Exactly. So for my perspective, I got a Brad Pitt movie, and I got everything I came for, but who is this movie for?
So I'll just start with this one, then we'll go to Zach for a second, okay? Because we had a really deep crew that night.
Yeah.
So it's all of us who work together who are also buddies, plus my brother-in-law and my son. So I was going to say, you know who this is for, from my perspective as somebody who doesn't know F1 racing, is you go with the guys. My wife had no interest. I don't know if your wives did, but my wife had no interest whatsoever, even though it's a Brad Pitt movie. The guys all wanted to see this movie. My brother-in-law wanted to see it. My father-in-law wanted to see it. My son wanted to see it. Zach, what do you think is the F1 enthusiast?
Well, I think we keep using this word immersive. And the flip side of that is it's immersive because it's so accurate. And so an F1 fan is going to be just impressed by how accurate everything is. I mean, it sounds like it's F1 car sound. It I mean, they're driving these cars, and that's what's impressive too for a Brad Pitt movie. He's driving the car,
yeah,
and still incredible and an incredible actor. So I think it's for everybody, and I think enthusiasts of anything in particular. Like every time there's a Transformers movie that comes out, you get a little nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a little nervous about this movie. Like, what's it going to do? You know, to the sport, is it going to make it more mainstream? Is it going to cheapen what I like to watch every weekend? And it does not do that. It is very accurate, but still approachable.
I just want to point out that one of the things that really blew my hair back, that really impressed me about this movie, is that it's not a reboot, it's not a prequel, it's not a sequel, it's not a comic book superhero.
And it's not a F1 biopic, which it could have been.
Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. It's just a fun time at the movies. This is why we go to the movies. See it in IMAX if you can. It's worth it.
It was awesome. So that's our review of F1, registered trademark symbol, the movie.